así.
4K. Fantasy. It's a war. It's a war.
Yeah, no, it's going to be good.
That was actually, it was really funny when you texted me about that with the window, with the expanding foam. I was like literally talking to Lyson at the exact same time. And I was like, Steve's asking about using expanding foam in terrain. And Lyson was like, oh God, no.
Actually, it actually showed up being exactly like it worked exactly how I wanted it to work, because I wanted it to look like a blob of misshapen, nasty flesh. And it totally does.
Yeah.
So for what I'm using it for, it's flawless. And I've seen some pretty good...
flawless victory.
I've seen some pretty good hills made out of that expanding foam, but it's like there's nothing else you can do with it.
Well, you know what I'm going to be making all my terrain out of?
MDF?
No. 3D prints, because I just bought a 3D printer. What?
Cool. So they're going to look like they have a bunch of lines in them.
Yeah, pretty much.
they're a bunch of stacked up jigsaw puzzles.
Yeah, actually, I bought a decent one. I got a CR10, which is it's not like, because a lot of times when you see like the really shitty stuff, it's really shitty 3D printers, like the ones that you can get for like $150-$200. I found this one company was having like a flash sale. Like this, obviously a Chinese company was having a flash sale. But I was able to get the CR10 for a decent discount. So now I'm going to be making 3D terrain. I'm very excited about this.
You've done it.
I've done it. I've gotten to this next step. I got it with my eBay funds from all the shit I've been selling. So now it's like, now I can print stuff, paint it, and sell it.
Now I can print crap.
Now I can print crap, sell it, and make more money out of it.
It's true.
Yes. This one guy was, He was selling, he sells just like some STL files, which is what you use. And he's like, I also sell a license, a monthly license, so that you can sell the stuff from based off my files on eBay. And I'm like, I can do that anyway. There's no law saying anything. This is the Wild West, man. You can't do shit.
Welcome to the world of 3D printing, my friend.
good times. Anyway, welcome to Game Classy. I'm your host, Joe. And with me, as always, my co-host, Steve.
Hello.
Age of Sigmar, Soul Wars, yay!
Yep, Age of Sigmar 2nd Edition.
Did you buy the box set yet, or you just get the two?
I've got it all.
You got it all? Yeah.
I've got it all.
I see you have all the malign sorcery stuff built out.
Yes.
What's with the E3 base you're talking about?
Oh, so the instructions, if you follow the instructions, you will find that when you've assembled everything, depending on the order you've assembled them in,
yeah.
When you go to assemble, if you go in the order written, you'll have the two the portals, the gateway.
The portals.
Which is where you can cast the spell through it. And, yeah. So you'll have two of those, and you'll have one big base and one small base, which doesn't seem right. Turns out the cog says it's supposed to be on an E2-sized base on the instructions. It's not. It's supposed to be an E3 size base. It's a bigger base. So very specifically, if you assemble it and follow the instructions exactly, you'll have one mis-sized base, and because the base comes on a sprue. So when it was mentioned to me that a base was missing, I was like, that doesn't seem possible. They come on sprue, because it's not like a bag. So we did some investigation, and that is the case. The cogs show you to put them on a smaller base on the instructions than you should. Yeah. They should go on a larger base.
I was listening to the Stormcast podcast, mm-hmm. the most incomprehensible podcast to ever listen to. By the way, okay, so I know no one from Games Workshop listens to us. Right, I know people in the industry listen to us, because when I go to like Gen Con and stuff like that, the people who always are like, oh yeah, I listen to your podcast, are people who like own companies, and I'm like, oh, I'm glad you guys listen to us at least. Maybe not.
Do you ever ask them why?
Probably because we make fun of other people in the industry.
I see.
But the yeah,
we're not afraid to throw hands.
Yeah,
well, but, verbal hands.
But in Games Workshop, we're going to have the first Age of Sigmar podcast that no one can understand because the British accents are so incomprehensibly thick.
British people can probably understand it.
I don't think so. There's enough British accents that probably they don't understand what's going on.
You know what? There is one thing that specifically bugs me.
What?
And
it's the word chuffed, isn't it?
And it's not the word chuffed.
I hate the word chuffed.
I'm a chuffed up bloke. It has that sweet announced voice. It's like, welcome to the Stormcast, the first Age of Sigmar podcast. All right.
Which is not true.
The first Games Workshop Age of Sigmar podcast. Yeah. That's what they say. The first official. That's what they say.
Oh.
They don't say the first. They just say the official Age of Sigmar podcast. Yes. Okay. It's welcome to Stormcast, the official Age of Sigmar podcast. Which is fine, but then immediately the host goes, welcome to Stormcast, the official Age of Sigmar podcast. Immediately after, like, if you want
to... There's no reason for that.
If you want to have that guy say that for your branding, it makes a million times more sense to have him do that as a sign out.
Yeah.
Be like, thanks for watching Stormcast, the official Age of Sigmar podcast. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, so it makes no sense to immediately say the same thing and just repeat it.
I like the transition of, welcome to Stormcast, to, hello, welcome to Stormcast, the first official Stormcast. And you're just like what
you sounded
saying?
Like Willow.
You really are, hero.
You are the greatest. Mad Mortigan.
This peck's got an acorn.
He's going to throw it at me. Oh, no. Yeah. You know, it drives me. Their accents are so thick, and they don't know how to talk. Sometimes they get the guy who's talking like this on the microphone.
The guy from the design studio. Yeah. That guy is not comfortable on a podcast.
Hi, I'm just gonna talk like this. I'm gonna give you all the stuff that you need to hear all the way from back here. Like, no, get on the microphone. That's the one thing I love about Steve. But this is me talking to the audience. Steve knows from the day one of me getting a microphone, Steve knew pretty much how to talk on a microphone. Sometimes he does things that are not great on a microphone, but he does that purposefully.
You gotta talk into the mic.
You gotta talk in the mic, yeah. And but I know a lot of people who can't do that, and everyone on Stormcast is that person. but I was listening to it, betting a bit to my original point, and
I like when they have Peachy and Duncan on.
Yeah, they're usually pretty good. Duncan is very comfortable on the microphone, so he can actually talk to people.
Peachy's weird though because he paints left-handed, so it's really weird watching him paint. I almost want to go on a mirror site and just mirror the video just so it looks more normal. I could be like, there we are, right-handed painting the way it's meant to be done.
Not like you weird left-handed.
It's just so bizarre because like I've known a decent amount of left-handed people, but I've never actually seen someone paint models left-handed, and it seems so alien to me. Like I'm trying like. Just trying to follow it as a guide is like throwing me off, but I'm just like, what is it? Looks so weird. Oh, right. He's painting with the other hand.
It's
just odd.
That is odd. They did their whole thing about the spell one. Malign sorcery. Mm-hmm. He used malign twice? That's weird.
Well, it's because malign portance is the.
What leads up to malign sorcery.
Right. Okay. Malign sorcery is the culmination of malign portance because if you follow the malign portance storyline, that's what the whole
story
thing is. Look, the story is He-Man and it's great.
They were when they designed the spells, they had it all like catted out and everything like that. When they got it together, they were like, oh, this is way too sharp. This is stabbing everyone.
Oh, the purple sun?
The purple sun. Yeah, and Chompers over there too.
Chompers is not as bad as the purple sun.
They said Chompers when they originally came out was like causing people to bleed.
I could see that.
Yeah.
Yeah, the purple sun though is holy
shit. Yeah, the purple
shit.
Sun, it's like, first of all, I love that the purple sun literally looks like someone took a styrofoam ball, covered it in spackle and puts toothpicks in it. That's exactly what it looks like.
It looks cool, though.
I don't think it looks that cool.
I mean, here's the thing about it. One, I do like the way the purple sun looks. However, here's the thing. That's exactly how the purple sun spell was described. So there's really no other way to make it because that's exactly how it was described. It was a big fucking purple spiky ball with a skull face. Yeah. Like, that's just what it is.
And the Lord Chompers over there was originally designed so that your wizard would go into the model. So that's why it's got the big opening in there.
Ah.
So you can actually model your wizard inside of Lord Chompy Jones.
I see.
Or whatever.
That's kind of cool.
I don't know what the actual spell names are.
That's kind of cool. I wonder why they. If it would like carry him across the field, that would be sick.
I don't know. I don't know any of the names for anything.
That's what that one's called. Someone's gnashing jaws.
Yeah, it's Chompy jaws.
More importantly, did you see that their they're doing army specific
I did see
spells.
Those, yeah.
They're doing ones for the Stormcast and for the Nighthaunt.
Gotta get you. Gotta get every dollar
that,
out
that
of you.
That fucking Nighthaunt one looks so sick with the fucking the giant hourglass and like the ghosts holding the hourglass. That fucking looks rad.
Yeah, there's the wall of stuff, and there's the other wall of stuff.
Well, yeah, there's the Gravetide and there's the Palisade. The Palisade stays where it is and is defensive. The Gravetide rolls over shit and fucks things up.
It's the wall and the other wall. The wall of stuff and the other wall.
The Gravetide's not a wall, though.
Then they got then
it
you got
even function as a wall.
Then you got door one and door two.
Yes, that's one spell though.
Yeah, and
it
then
just puts both doors out. There's the blue and the or the black and the white orbs.
Yeah, there's the balls.
And then there's the spell sucking ball.
The spell they're just balls.
Yeah, there's the spell.
Then there's
sucking
ball. The flying sword one.
Yep, the flaying swords. Then there's the gigantic axe.
Yeah, there's the guitar, the flaming guitar.
That axe is one of the coolest spells. You just you cast it,
yeah,
it and
it
just fucking goes. It just keeps going.
Yeah,
pretty cool.
So I was talking with Cole earlier that I found out that you can actually get a free Twitch subscription through Amazon Prime.
Yeah,
I never knew that.
Yeah,
mainly because I never usually watch Twitch, but I've been getting into watching Warhammer TV for watching the games because I really like watching their streamed games. Mm-hmm. I was watching it, and every game I've seen with V2 of AOS, they just did a 24-hour marathon. They got a bunch of the games up there right now. Mm. Every single one of them, when someone is using a perpetual spell, that spell comes back and bites them in the ass. I'm like, why are they taking these? It's like, oh, I had 20 points left. I might as well just take the spell. No, just leave the 20 points because it's going to kill your own guys. You're dumb. No, they take it because they want people to buy it. But
I mean, I think they're cool. But I think as you know, in the beginning, like you're going to see, For example, like one of the stronger tactics people are talking with Purple Sun is you actually take the Bray Herds, the Beastmen, because you can ambush a Shaman behind their table side by himself, and you just put the Purple Sun out with him. So even if they get a chance to move the Purple Sun, it's still all up in their business.
Yeah, because it doesn't get to move that far.
Right, it's still all up in their business, so it doesn't matter. Like, they can move it away.
The word is biznatch.
Biznatch.
Yeah.
So, like, that's what you're going to see. You're going to see, like, esoteric tactics. And then, of course, like, the
Baroque tactics,
the Goth tactics, and then the big flaming guitar. Yeah. That one can't fire back on you because it only goes in a straight line.
Oh, yeah.
So
well, it goes in a straight line, then it goes back in the same direction.
No, it just keeps going forever. It goes.
Oh, does it?
Yeah, it goes off the table.
Oh.
I do believe it just goes until it goes off the table.
I thought it was a pendulum, like it swung back and forth.
It might, but I mean, even then, like it's. That would be a pretty...
Well, it doesn't really matter.
It would have to make it across the entire table.
We're not a rules podcast. If anybody was listening to us for rules, they are sorely mistaken.
The Geminids of Ulgish.
Yeah, it's dumb. Dumb words.
I love the Geminids of Ulgish. they're actually cool. That's the black and the white gems. They do the same thing when they cross over units damage-wise, but one gives them minus one attack and the other gives minus one to hit. So if you nail a unit with both, it's totally fucked.
Ooh.
Which is pretty cool.
So yeah, and I haven't had a chance to buy the I bought the General's Handbook, but I'm just waiting for it to ship because I bought it cheaper because I am not paying full price for anything. I did buy a box of the easy to put together Stormcast because I wanted to try putting together the new guys. My first thought on those is that this is obviously going to be re-released as a Shadespire Warband. They're gonna make everybody who bought this rebuy it as a Shadespire Warband because it's gonna come with the cards, and people are gonna be pissed.
Well, I have a feeling they're gonna look similar to it because do you remember when they did those skirmish boxes and there was the Khorne Gortide one that had like the various blood warriors and the Reavers and stuff.
Yeah.
Magor's Fiends.
Magor.
Are in that box set. Like, there's the chaos. Like, there's the dude who's Magor. He's got the jawbone axe and he's got the mouth in his stomach. It's clearly Magor, but he's got a different sculpt. Because Steelheart is in one of the. He's one of the Space Marine. He's one of the Stormcast champion models. Like, that is Steelheart, but it's not mentioned as Steelheart, just like how Magor was just a generic Blood Champion model.
I wonder which. I'll have to look at it. Because with the exception of the guys on the dragons, I have all of
Yeah, there is a model that is Steelheart before Shadespire. that's what they are. So
yeah, it'll probably get re-released as a. But I mean, they're designed like literally the one box that I bought. The guys with the maces.
Yeah, they look awesome.
Can legit just be substituted for Steelheart's Warband.
Yeah,
they're equipped the exact same way.
Kevin was already talking about doing that. He's just like, I think I want to make this into Steelheart's Warband.
But let me tell you this. So I was like, okay, I'm gonna give this a try. I started painting them, and I immediately went, oh God, I hate painting these models. I absolutely hate painting these models.
I love painting Stormcast.
Well, I mean, I normally do too, but these models with the robes and stuff like that.
Oh, I love it.
I was just like, I hate everything about these models.
Because there's robes?
Because the robes. It has to be the robes.
I love robes.
I was so pissed about it. Because I was working on it, and I was like, I stopped painting my Sons of Horus for this? This is bullshit.
Yeah, so you do keep moving it until it just goes off the table.
Oh, there you go.
Because it can only move in a straight line in that one direction. And then it can cross
like the band.
Yeah, and you can cross the edge of the battlefield with anything. So if you put your purple sun towards the edge of the table, I can just have it move off the table edge if it's close enough.
Oh.
So that's something to consider.
There you go.
So now you know. Yeah. Also that really matters for to have things not be able to blow back up in your face. You can like be like, all right, if I take the initiative, I just move it off the board, so I'm good.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I'm really
display my purple sun.
I really like them. I think they're really cool. But yeah, they're very much something that can blow up right back in your face, which I like. I like that feel.
Yeah. Every person I was talking about, like, because I was, you know me, if I have a concern about something, I'm like, yeah, I'll tell the person, oh, you're stupid for putting it out there because it's going to come back and bite your ass. And one guy I was talking to was like, oh, it was Lyson. I was talking with Tim about it, and Tim was like, yeah, I like that. And I'm like, oh, wait, you're an orc player. He's like, yeah. I'm like, oh, okay. And then I talked to Dwayne about it, and the same thing. He's like, yeah, I like that. And I'm like, oh, wait, you're an orc player, yeah, too. God damn it.
Yeah, for orc and skaven players, they're just like, eh.
Far for the course.
Yeah, that's normal. What are you talking? Something that, wait, you have things in your army that can't hurt you?
Yeah. Dumbasses.
That's weird. Oh, the Pestilens got a huge update in General's Handbook too.
Yeah.
Oh, they're so good now. Fuck.
Will you do an army that's not Nurgly?
Pestilens are so cool. Yeah. I'm doing the ghosts.
You're doing the ghosts?
Yeah, I'm doing the ghosts. I have the ghosts.
Yeah, the ghosts with the most.
I am doing the ghosts with the most. So they're not Nurgle.
They're not Nurgle.
They're not Nurgle.
Are you painting green?
I am not. I'm doing the black cloak and the like blue smoke effect. No, I'm going to do this as Halloween.
Oh, this is Halloween. Mm-hmm. Nice. You can put some top hats on those guys, put some Malifaux models in there.
I'll just chop the top hats off the Malifaux models and stick them on my skeletons.
God. You don't even have to do that. Top hats are real easy to make. Just them 20 millimeter
washers.
No,
they have to be from Malifaux models. That's the rules.
It's fine.
There have to be official Malifaux top hats.
What I was going to say is what you could do is you just, you literally take 20 mil base and 20 mil washers and you use those as the brims and then you just cut dowel rods to make the top hat part of it and you just make all
so
top
you mean
hats.
Like this? This is just basically a really big top hat?
Yeah, kind of, yeah. It's not quite exactly what I'm talking about. That's a 25 mil washer.
But I got you.
This is acrylic. Where'd you get these from?
Amazon.
Oh, Amazon. Okay. Yeah. Because I just bought some acrylic rods myself, and I bought them from Amazon. Yep. I thought maybe if you got them locally, I'd go check it out.
I couldn't even think of any. Like, maybe the hardware store would have
I them. Looked all over the place because I was looking for thick rods.
Nice thick rods
for some flyers.
We have a big thick rod for a flyer as well.
I have the GW flying base for my Storm Eagle, I don't remember what it's called.
The big nice one, thick one.
Yeah, it's like that T shaped.
Okay,
one,
yeah,
right. So I have my model in there. I think it's this whatever the small one is. Yeah. The small flyer, not like the really small one, but it's a Forge World one.
Okay, yeah.
So I had that in my case, and it's all decked out, all nice and everything like that. And sure enough, just the weight of the model and that stupid flying stand just went snapped right in half. I was like, you got to be fucking kidding me. So I went out and I got like nice, thick acrylic rod.
You got to rod it up.
Made it all nice.
That's a shame.
Yeah, whatever. It's not like it's real Forge World. Yeah, so the Soul Wars box came out. My other complaint with the Soul Wars box is, and we talked about it a little bit last time, is that there's absolutely nothing in the Soul Wars box outside of the characters that you can field as a legit unit.
Yeah, there's nothing that they don't cohesively work with the numbers or whatever. Or no, the chain rasps do, don't aren't they? The infantry?
One or the other. Yeah. There's like one maybe.
Yeah,
that
the infantry
there.
Is fine.
But everything else is, the numbers are all completely off. You need at least two boxes to make it work. And even then, like your base guys, like as you say, maybe it depends on the new meta. We'd have to see how it works. But you have to run a block of 30 of whatever your core unit is regardless.
Yeah, you need to run a block of 30. I don't see that changing very much.
With the Storm Boys? You still got to do it?
Well, Storm Boys don't need to run a block. You can do the block of 30 Storm Boys, but I think for the bigger base armies, you run 10 is like, or 20 would be your 30. Like if you're going for a big unit, there is a list that uses one giant 30 man block of Storm Boys and just buffs the shit out of it.
Well, there's the one that runs like a 30 man block of hammers.
Yeah,
like double hammers, and then right behind there is a 30 man block of. Arrow Boys.
Yes.
So it's like one long line and it just marches across the field.
You can do that one. I think.
Yeah, and lose all your friends.
I think for Stormcast, I would go with a 20. A 20 is my core.
Yeah.
Like this is my unit.
Yeah. When I've played a couple times with them, I've never seen the need to run 20. Yeah.
Ten might be enough. Yeah, I run Blight Kings, but Blight Kings have 3 wounds each or 4 wounds each, so like they're double the Stormcast.
Yeah.
So I run tens of those.
I run tens and they're two wound each. Yeah, it gives you about 20 wounds, but they're also they got the hammer and shield, and you just run.
Might be 15 might even be the right number,
and they're not even like. Well, and 15 would be pretty good too.
Yeah, 15 might be like that big block presence.
Yeah, I could see that. Welcome to tactics.
Because
we never talk tactics.
That would get you to 30 wounds.
It would get you to 30 wounds.
Yeah,
but yeah, and I'm interested to see what the new Stormcast
the Sacrosanct Chamber.
Their new battle tome.
Oh yes.
Might fix some of the issues with some of the battle hosts. Because now, in the new rules, you get the command points, which we've talked about before. Mm-hmm. You actually get an extra command point at the beginning of the game if you run a
battalion. Yeah, you get one per battallion.
One per battallion. And it doesn't, like, you don't get one every turn.
Yeah,
you just get one at the beginning.
Just that one at the beginning.
Yeah, which is nice.
And you can buy them, I think, for 50 points?
50 points. 50 points.
It was either 15 or 50.
50. It's a lot of
5-0.
Points.
5-0. Okay, yeah, that's a lot of points.
Yeah, I mean, it's not enough to usually buy a unit. There's very few units that you could buy for 50 points.
Yeah, like that. Maybe like a goblin something.
Yeah, or like there's not even a ton of characters you could buy for 50 points.
No.
In my opinion, if you got 50 leftover points, buy a command point, not one of the perpetual spells.
You could grab the Life Swarm. The Life Swarm's pretty good because you call it behind your army because you only want it to touch your models. If the other guy moves it, they can just move it away. That's a good one. I like the Life Swarm a lot. I think it's a strong one.
But the current battalions for the Stormcast suck. That's one of the things that I don't like about Age of Sigmar, and I know we're talking about it, is that the playing the game, I don't like armies where I'm running 50 models of the exact same unit.
Mm-hmm.
I can't do it. I want variety in my armies. And like the majority of the armies that are out there are just like, okay, you get a choice between two units in this army. And, you want to run the, I don't know, Eldritch Council? Okay, prepare to have a shit ton of great swords. Okay, what else do I get? Great swords and dragons. Okay. Do I get dragon riders? Yeah, you get the guys. No, I'm talking like the dragon. Oh, the dragon princes. You get the dragon. No, you don't get
that. That's thing. If you want crazy, but they that's intentional because if you want crazy variety, you have to play mixed order or mixed chaos. Hey, mixed order was a top tier army in the.
It still is a top tier army.
There you go. There's your variety list.
I don't know. I don't know how well the flying fish boys are doing. So.
They're actually. I think they're pretty good. I don't know if they're tearing it up just yet, but I think they're pretty good.
The seaweed is always greener
on someone else's table. You rolled the snake eyes again. Well, maybe next time it won't be on so unstable. I don't know. I was trying to hit something around
the
table. It's
all right. You can workshop that and come up with something better. And then you got the. So yeah, you get the Soul Wars and everything. Like you have to legit buy two boxes to make anything usable out of that army. With the Stormcast, the guys with the maces are better than your standard dudes with hammers and shields because they get, like, magic.
Yeah.
Something magic-y. I haven't seen the points on them yet. They haven't updated in the app, so I don't know, like, comparison-wise how the points are. I'm sure they're going to be a little bit more expensive just because they have that extra option on there. But the real winner is the bolt thrower,
the turbo bolt thrower?
Yeah, the turbo bolt thrower. When I say that it has a possibility of throwing 24 Ren2 attacks.
Yeah, 24 hit, 24 wounds. That's a lot.
It's a fucking night, and for 100 points.
Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah, you're going to want to run about two to three of those. And plus you could throw it with the one ordnance guy, the one that they released from Line Ports, yeah. And he makes it even better.
Yeah, he's really good.
So it's like, fuck. All right then. The unit of three, which I think actually has to run in a unit of five in the actual game, they're not terrible, but they're a little on the expensive side,
and,
I bet you.
And to be fair, let's split hairs here because we are a podcast that's like to split hairs.
Yeah.
You can field a three model unit. You just have to pay the points for a five man unit. To be fair.
Yes. You are absolutely right.
They are technically fieldable in a matched play game.
And most of the stuff that's getting released currently is all Nighthaunt stuff. So you're going to get a shit ton of Nighthaunt coming out.
Sequiturs are the name of the
names for these units.
So your regular Stormcast Eternals are... not Judicators. Are they the Judicators? No, Judicators are Hammer guys.
Yeah. Hold on.
Hammerhand.
Is Vanus in there?
Okay. Liberators. Liberators are the regular ass Stormcast. Yes. Okay. So regular ass Stormcast are five dudes for 100 points.
Yes.
The Sequiturs are five dudes for 120 points. So they are more expensive.
Yeah.
And they also, importantly, they cap at 20, whereas Liberators cap at 30.
Ah.
So that's a pretty big difference.
Yeah. I mean, no one's gonna run the fucking.
If you have enough things that buff a unit, like having one badass unit is a viable strategy. Like you can have the thing where you give them plus. Like there was some specific combo where you set it all up. It was in previous edition. I don't know if it still works now because some spells might have changed. But they rerolled all hits, rerolled all wounds. They had one plus rerollable saves. Then they had three plus feel no pain. Like it took.
Feel no pain.
It was feel no pain.
I like how you do everything in terms of Nurgle.
Yeah, and that was what it was. It's just like, oh shit! Like that was the Doom unit.
It was a Death Star unit.
Yeah, the Doom unit. So like that's a thing.
Yeah,
like you could totally do it.
Yeah. I mean, I have to. That's why I got to get the General's Handbook because I got to go through there because they have yet to update. So they updated the Age of Sigmar app.
It looks so much nicer.
It looks nicer.
And all the war scrolls are way easier to read.
Yeah. The problem is that they haven't updated with any of the new stuff yet that hasn't been spoiled.
Ah, okay.
So, like, the ballista's in there. A couple of the characters are in there. But the dudes with the hammers and a couple of the other ones, and, like, the other smaller unit ones, they're not in there yet.
The Celestar Ballista.
Yeah, 100 points, broke-ass fucking unit.
Well, it's artillery, so you are restricted by that. So.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
So that actually kind of, like, it falls in line with most other artillery pieces.
It does.
Around points-wise, and then it is slotted as artillery, so you can't just take 10 of them.
Well, yeah, you get, I think in a 2,000-point game, you could take, like, what, three?
Four? I think you get six artillery slots. It's either four or six.
Well, whatever. I mean, like
it'll be
five. Five in a 2,000-point game.
Yeah,
or 2,500 points.
It'll
game.
Be fine.
So four in a 2,000-point game,
yeah,
probably.
So you go. You get four in a 2,000. It'll be fine. It's strong, but, like, whatever. It's not gonna doom the fucking rest. Like, there's a lot of strong artillery pieces in the game. Like, the Plague Claw Catapult is really good. The Warp Lightning Cannon is really good. And they're both cheap points as well.
Yeah, well, they're Skaven, so they explode and kill your own army. We talked about this.
Yeah, no, most there aren't really expensive.
How's the Snotling Pump Wagon doing, Steve? How's that doing?
The Pump Wagon's not artillery, and I believe it is still garbage, but it's also, like, 10 points. I think the only artillery pieces that are expensive are the ones that are also close combat monsters, so all chaos stuff. So, like, your Soul Grinder, the Corn Cannon, even the Chaos Dwarf artillery.
I wish the Soul Grinder actually looked like a big submarine sandwich, like an actual grinder.
Nice.
Like, that's what they call them on the East Coast, right? East Coast has the grinders.
Is East Coast grinders? Yeah, maybe.
Well, I know they got the, you know, there's Hoagies.
Who's Hoagies?
Who's
Hoagies?
I think.
Is Hoagies Midwest?
Yeah. Like, I don't know. Let me see. Sandwich nomenclature.
Yeah, because, I mean, there's Hoagies, there's grinders, and then there's submarine sandwiches.
Yeah.
Like, all are the same thing, but they're called something else depending on where you are.
Nomenclature sandwich compounds. What?
Sandwich compounds. Is that like is that like a fortress made out of sandwiches, or a fortress where you have your sandwiches?
Oh, this is like something to do with organic chemistry.
Nice.
Here you go. A submarine sandwich is known as a sub hoagie hero, filled roll, grinder, wedge, a spooky. A po' boy.
I know po' boy. That's South, though.
Yeah. Well, that's Louisiana. Yeah. That's New Orleans.
Louisiana fast. You can't talk.
You also have battleship sandwiches, flat top sandwiches, or destroyer sandwiches. Those are, I guess, types. I have no idea. Okay, so Maine is where the Italian sandwich originates from. Okay, so submarine comes from New London, Connecticut, and Delaware.
Okay, so submarine's East Coast as fuck.
Yeah. So, I mean, they all probably started on the East Coast. Hoagies from Philadelphia.
Hoagies, Philly, okay.
Okay. And then, let's see, a hero is from New York.
Okay.
Grinder is a New England thing. A wedge is it's from Westchester County, New York.
Wedge. Wedge Antilles, the sandwich.
So who calls a sandwich a wedge? I do. Where? It's a regional dialect. Upstate New York.
Oh, no, not in Utica, no. More of an Albany expression.
Oh, a spooky is from Boston. It comes from the Italian word spookadella, which means long roll. You get a blimpy from New Jersey.
Ooh, a blimpy.
A po' boy is from Louisiana, and Zeppelin is from eastern Pennsylvania. I've heard that before. Zeppelin.
I've never heard of Zeppelin.
Zeppelin is from Pittsburgh. It's a Pittsburgh thing.
Okay.
Pittsburgh, underrated in terms of their contributions to sandwich culture. They're the guys who put coleslaw and french fries on their sandwich.
Hey, who cares? They voted for Trump.
I can say that about a lot of places, but they actually created a wonderful sandwich.
That doesn't excuse them now.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, like, you talk about anybody from... You know what the sandwich contribution of Southern Illinois is? The horseshoe. Have you heard of this fucking sandwich?
No. What's a horseshoe?
It's essentially a slice of bread, right? With a hamburger on top of it, okay. French fries on top of it, and, like, a cheese sauce on top of the
French
fries.
That sounds fucking great.
It does, but when you think about it, it's just, like, the cheese sauce is just going to get the bread soft, so you have to eat the thing with a knife and fork, so you really can't eat a sandwich.
I mean, the best sandwiches are all impossible to eat with your hands, to be fair. Like, the best sandwiches. The ones that are, like, they're dipped in so much, like, au jus or whatever that, like, they just disintegrate when you try to eat them.
Okay, yes, but you can pick them up.
But, like, I mean, you could pick up a cheese sauce sandwich.
I don't think you can.
If you're using the easy cheese, like, that stuff doesn't...
I'm sorry if any of our listeners are from Southern Illinois.
That stuff doesn't sink into the bread because it's plastic. Like, it can't... Your body can't absorb it. The bread can't absorb it. It just goes through your body. It's like, I think it'll be fine.
This is what a horseshoe sandwich looks like. Look at this. Look at this. Nonsense.
Okay, that looks like shit.
Exactly.
Fair enough.
I mean, what does Chicago have? We got Italian beef. We got the greatest sandwich of all time.
That is the greatest sandwich of all time.
Maybe it's not the greatest sandwich of all time, but it's up there in its contributions to sandwich culture.
I don't think there's a better sandwich than the Italian beef. Like, wow. When you're talking sandwich as a meal, there's no greater sandwich than the Italian
beef. It's a great sandwich. Like, it's definitely top tier.
Now the only way that is a... The only way that that's contested is if, say, we're talking, is hamburger a sandwich?
A hamburger technically...
And then are we going with the whole, like, is a Pop-Tart a sandwich?
Pop-Tart is a sandwich.
Sandwiches have bread, Anakin.
I have this, my daughter, who is six, we have this discussion quite a bit, and it's about, like, can you define something? And my thing is can you define a pizza? A pizza is undefinable.
I don't think it's not undefinable.
Define pizza. What is a pizza?
Well, it's a pizza. Well, pizza pie. So that's the first step. It's round. It's circular always. It's round and flat, and it has toppings that involve a sauce and a cheese.
Okay. So is a Ritz... Oh, no. You can't say cheese because there are cheeseless pizzas out there.
I think every pizza has cheese unless you specifically... Like, every pizza that is made to have cheese on it. Even a margarita pizza, which is not covered in cheese, it still has those wads of mozzarella.
Yeah.
There's no such thing as a pizza that doesn't have cheese unless you specifically made it without cheese, which is still a pizza, but it's a pizza with no cheese.
Yeah. See, but that's the thing then. If you have a pizza with no cheese, and you that be all of a sudden, it doesn't cease to be a pizza.
Then I guess to reduce it further, it would just be it's a round discus with toppings.
Okay.
That's a pizza.
Is a Ritz cracker with ketchup on it a pizza?
Yeah.
Exact. See, this is what I'm saying. And then like the people are like, no, that's not pizza. I'm like, yeah, it is. According to your definition,
it's a pizza.
Yeah.
But I'm not denying that is a pizza. Yeah. It's a really fucking shitty pizza, but it's a pizza.
Well, I mean, I think that was Diogenes. He's the Greek philosopher that when Plato was trying to define man, he goes, it's a featherless bipedal creature.
Yeah.
And he's the one who plucked the chicken and said, behold, Plato's man.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to do to my daughter. And yeah. She's just like, it makes her head hurt.
Behold, Plato's man. I love that. Featherless bipedal creature. That's good. But yeah, I
think he just said a featherless. Well, the whole point was that Plato was all about decreasing a definition down to its base element. So the less words you could use to describe something, right, the better.
But yeah, straight up, like I would say a Ritz cracker with ketchup on it would be a pizza.
Yeah.
I don't think it would be a very good pizza, but it would definitely be a pizza.
It would definitely be considered a pizza.
The bare minimum of a pizza, though, because you need to have, I think you need to have, personally, I think that to construe pizza, you need to have more than one topping. You can't have just... Like,
you can't have just sauce.
Yeah, you can't have just sauce. That's not a pizza at that point. That's bread. So like
it's sauced bread.
Yeah, it's sauced bread. So I think you'd need to put, like, if you put like some pepperoni, like if you took your Ritz cracker and you put some pep sauce and some pepperoni, you've got a pizza.
Okay.
Or like some olives, you've got a pizza. I don't think you can just do sauce.
Yeah, I think the idea of pizza has gotten so far away from what constitutes pizza is that pizza has become undefinable. And that's the thing, like with a hamburger is it's ground meat between two pieces of bread. That is a hamburger. Hamburger.
I love hamburgers.
I do too.
Fuck, man. I could go for a hamburger right now.
Yeah, but you're on a diet, so you don't get to eat that stuff.
I get to eat the hamburger, but only the burger.
Yeah, you don't get to eat anything else.
I don't get to have anything else. Only the burger.
Yeah.
Which is really a shame.
It's kind of sad on that point.
But that's okay. I can handle it.
I can handle it.
I've been handling it for quite some time.
All right. What else do we got to cover about the Soul Wars release?
It's sweet. I'm super excited. I can't wait to go play at the tournament later this month.
They're playing V2 real soon.
Yeah, they are. They're gonna be the first large tournament that has that is playing with the second ed rules.
Yeah. So I was just kind of, I put some notes down about some stuff that's being released. They're actually
some newts.
So they're releasing a box set called Stormstrike, which is just the easy-to-build models. So the four boxes of the easy-to-build, Stormcast, and the Nighthaunt put together in one box set.
That makes sense. They did that for the other one.
Yeah.
They're duplicating the exact same release that they did for the original Age of Sigmar. Because if you look, all of those like small box with the easy-to-build Marauders, easy-to-build Stormcast, they're all available now, so they're just doing the same thing with the new minis. They did the same thing for 40K as well.
And then we have they're doing the Tempest of Souls, which is pretty much just everything from the original box set, the Soul Wars box set. And then they're actually re-releasing Hammerhand and Corgus Cool, all those figures, into separate box sets as well.
Nice. Is
what? I was looking for my drink.
Aha. I found it.
What are you pulling, a Warhammer TV? We're just going to talk like this on the microphone.
No, I was looking for my beverage.
They're the worst.
The
you were trying to get my attention to go grab the Soul Wars.
No, I would have poked you. Are they? I wonder if they were. You know, I hope they release a box set that just gives you the fit to the enders to the units.
Oh, that would be perfect.
That would be awesome.
Like, if you wanted to make money as Games Workshop, what you do is now, after you've released this, you say, okay, here's this box set. It will give you everything to make completely a legit army. And this is everything that you need.
And they could even do it by Nighthaunt and Stormcast.
Yeah.
So be like, You split the box out with your friend? Cool. Here's what here's the next thing for you to buy.
No. You don't split it. You put it all together because that's Games Workshop's MO, so that you have to buy a shit ton of extra models that you don't actually need.
Ah, very good.
Yes. I mean, you could still split it with a friend after all, but, you know, that's how they do it. They just they make it. So that's why you're going to have to buy those easy to put together models again when you have to when you're going to be playing your Shadespire going on.
Yes.
Other stuff, because they just had, though, with the release, they had a bunch of this stuff, which is weird that they had a Warhammer weekend with Age of Sigmar, and everything that got spoiled is all 40K.
No, I mean, there's nothing to spoil for Age of Sigmar. It's all been shown.
Yeah.
It's all dropping down.
Well, I mean, there's a bunch of, like, they have the new Knight and Cantor. They have a bunch of the... They have a bunch of the new special figures for
But they're shown, though. They're shown already. All of the new character models look fucking sweet. I love
even that dragon that looks.
I love
like
that dragon. Looks like Harold.
Looks like Harold.
The dragon's got that. The dragon's upset.
The dragon is upset.
You can't judge him. You don't know where he's been.
He's contemplating his existence of why he's still living.
Yep, he's upset.
Yeah, I like the Nighthaunt characters. The Nighthaunt characters, I think, are above and beyond.
They're very
cool.
The
Stormcast ones look kind of dumb, I think.
I really like that weird dragony griffin thing is really cool.
The dragony griffin thing?
I don't know what the hell. It's a made-up creature, because they combined mythical. Like, they did the classic D&D thing, where the D&D thing was to take two animals and stick them together to make a mythological creature. Well, what they did is they took two mythological creatures and stuck them together to make a new mythological creature.
When am I going to get a Stormcast and a Rust Monster? That's what I want.
That would be probably not good for a Stormcast, because
they're made of metal.
They're made of metal. They've got a lot of metal.
What is it? Sigmarite? Is that what they're made out of? Can Sigmarite rust?
Well, that's the thing. I believe the Rust Monster rusts things that normally can't be rust, because the Rust Monster can destroy magic weapons.
Oh, yes,
so
right.
So because it can destroy magic weapons, it's a magical effect. So yes, even though Sigmarite can't rust, a Rust Monster could, in theory, rust their armor.
That is that's interesting. We should pose that to the Warhammer TV people.
Well, the thing
and
about,
listen to them answer it.
The thing about that is that they would still be recalled to Azir, and then Sigmar could fix their armor.
Yeah.
But I believe they would be fucked up.
Sigmar
in the
wouldn't fix their armor. He'd leave it to the people who are making the armor. Sigmar would be like,
well,
I have better, more important things.
He fixes
to do.
It with his godly might.
Yes, with his godly might.
With his godly might.
Yeah, so all the 40K stuff, they got Gene Stealer Cult's coming out, and they released a ton of those models.
They accidentally spoiled some of those models?
Oh, my God. And then they were it was funny because they spoiled it, and then they were like, fuck it, and they showed all of them. And yeah. They're really nice.
That was really funny, though. Like, yeah. If they accidentally fucking spoiled a release.
Whatever. I think it'll just get people... For those who wonder why Games Workshop does what they do, they don't want to put out something and say, like, this is coming out, because what that does is that fucks up their sales for all the stuff that's currently in the stores.
Right. It messes with their purchasing schedules, like projections. It messes with their projections. So they don't want to tell you that there's, like, an extra, like, 40K, big 40K release next week because if you're playing both... They don't want you to be like, maybe I won't get the extra stuff for Age of Sigmar because of those Gene Stealer things.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing is, like, they're like, oh, you know, these new Gene Stealers models are coming out. The people who are like, I'm going to buy Gene Stealers are going to say, like, I'm just going to wait to buy the new Gene Stealers because why not? They don't want people to fucking do that. So, yeah. I mean, kudos to them for actually going, well, we fucked it up. Let's just sell it. Gene Stealer Colts probably are not a big seller anyway with their Tonka trucks or go-go Tonka trucks.
I actually don't know. I think they're not a big seller because I don't think they're very strong. I think they're a pretty weak army, actually.
Because they have Tonka trucks.
I love their Tonka trucks.
I hate those things so much.
I love them.
Dwayne, who loves Gene, he's like, Gene Stealer Cult is his new thing, is like, and he's like, I think they're pretty cool, and I'm like, I think they're dumb.
I like them. I mean, they're supposed to be fucking construction vehicles. They're supposed to be Tonka trucks.
Yeah.
Like, they're doing it right, man.
Go Power Wheels.
Yeah, they're doing it right, man.
It'd be better if they had, like, the little levers in the back so that you could move their little shovels and stuff like that. Like,
yeah.
Maybe a button that goes beep, beep.
Yeah, get it done.
We're on the move. Beep, beep.
Can we build it? Yes, we can.
Bob the Builder.
Heresy.
Heresy. And also they have the... orcs are getting their book finally. They're going to come out. Rumor has it that there's going to be a Prime Orc or a Primaris level Orc that's going to be released.
That's cool. So, like, it'll probably be Gazgul, right?
Yeah, they're saying, like, Gazgul is, like, is the the model kind of ideal for it. And the Abaddon is going to, they're going to release a new Abaddon.
An Abaddon who's Primarch level?
Yeah. Okay. He's going to be like that big. It's going to be probably a $100 box set or something, or something other. It might be like one of those like summer games that they release, like the box set that's like, oh, here's a board game with Abaddon. And then people are like, board game, to take the model and that's it. Yeah, because that's what people do. Like, they create the, this effort goes into creating these games that people never play. Like the Horus Heresy get bought, like the Burning of Prospero. No one buys.
I'm sure someone's played that game.
I'm sure they have, and they probably work for Games Workshop, but, so that they could say.
I've you know what? I've seen people play the Silver Tower.
Well, Silver Tower is different. Silver Tower is Warhammer Quest. Quest is classic. Quest has like a pedigree.
It has cachet.
It has cachet. Exactly. Like, people will play Warhammer Quest. They won't sit there and play like Burning up. No one is gonna ever say, you know what I want to play today? Burning a Prospero or Betrayal at Kelth. Let's play Betrayal at Kelth.
No one
in the history of Games Workshop has ever said
that. It's pretty unlikely.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, people say like all the time, like, let's play Necromunda. Let's play Warhammer Quest. You know, let's play what's the other one? Blood Bowl. Let's play Blood Bowl.
Oh well, yeah, Blood Bowl's its own game. It's not a game that's made to sell models that are originally used for other games, though.
Yeah. Let's play Lord of the Rings. No one's ever said that.
I love Lord of the Rings.
I know.
I think the biggest thing that I would like is if they were to just re-release fucking Battle of Five Armies, but make it War of the Ring.
Yeah. I've been playing Shadows of Shadow of War. The Shadow of Mordor game, like, sequel. Mm-hmm. And it's just, every time I play the game, I'm like, why isn't the minigame like this game? This game is so much more fun to play than the minigame ever was in the history of the minigame. Like, just give me, like, a dude to lead a bunch of orcs into combat. Like, this should be the game. Like, some really fucking cool shit. I was just thinking this, too, is with Games Workshop's new sculpting style. I know they're not going to do this because I've already seen what Forge World's doing for Pelennor Fields. Mm. Like, make them 32mm scale or 28mm scale, but make it true scale. So it kind of looks a little bit like I don't want to say looks like Malfo, but like that size, so that you could actually do real detail into the model so they look cool so that you play with them instead of looking like blobs of incomprehensible poop on the table, because that's what the models look like.
I don't think so. I think they look pretty good.
Come on, man. Those plastics, some of those early...
Some of the older ones, yeah, but they're getting on 20 years old.
I mean, even... Oh, God, that is... Oh, yeah. 15 years old.
They're getting on fucking 20 years old, man. That game came out in, like, 2000.
2000, yeah. 2001, I think, is when it dropped.
Yeah, it's...
It's over 15 years old.
It's getting pretty old.
I mean, but even still, there are 15-year-old plastics that look better than that.
Their metals always looked great, and their metals still hold up. Their metals look awesome.
I don't think their metals always look great.
I thought all their metals looked good. I can't think of any of their metals that I thought looked like poop.
The problem is it was designed to look too much like the movies. Like, which is fine for a lot of the character stuff.
Point.
But even the character stuff didn't look like the character. The Samwise Gamgee did not look like Sean Astin.
The hobbits were rough because the hobbits were so fucking small.
You know
small.
What it looked like? It looked like the midget who was playing Sean Astin with wearing a Sean Astin mask. That's
kinda
what it
works.
Looked like. And you're like,
close enough.
Close enough. Yeah.
It looked like Sam, though. Like, it reads as Sam when you look at it.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. It's like, you just legit can get the models and put them out the way that you interpret them to look.
It has no other master.
Well, and that's why, like, some of the later stuff that wasn't based off the movies looks so good.
It's true.
Like, the
Well, all the Hobbit stuff looks really good. All the Hobbit plastics are good. Everything Hobbit is good.
Oh, yeah.
Everything that was released under the Hobbit banner, not just Lord of the Rings, all good.
Yeah.
All looks good. The Goblin King looks really good. The little gross goblins look good. The Lake Town guards look really good. All the dwarves look good. They look good.
Yeah. Especially the Forge World stuff looks really good.
The Forge World stuff looks real good.
Real good.
Real good.
But yeah, I mean, like, I would like to see a game that's like Shadows of War where I can get, like, a warband of... I just want to see a warband style. I don't want these massive army Lord of the Ring games. Like, I guess maybe I'm biased because that's what I was forced to play when I worked for the company.
I mean, for me, the biggest thing is I want War of the Ring, but I want it to be like a feasible game.
Yeah.
Like, it's not feasible to play big battles
well,
with
yeah. Well, that's why you go get the cobblestone.
Lord of the Rings rules.
Just go get the cobblestone casting 10 mil stuff.
Oh, and, right. And yeah. Just play Warmaster.
Yeah, play Warmaster scaled. Actually, I was just in War Games Illustrated.
Those are really nice.
War Games Illustrated last month. That's the historical gaming magazine. They actually did a Battle of Pelennor Fields that looked awful because person used 1/72 scale plastics. But I was like, you could do this with 10 millimeter and it looks amazing. Mm-hmm. Just don't do it with really shitty looking 1/72 scale Airfix plastics. Because no matter what you do, those models are going to look bad.
Yeah.
Because they're 1/72 scale, the almost awful scale in the history of wargaming. It's like the scale that all the, like that guy who, in Britain who had like, man dies leaving 500,000, you know, minis. And I'm like, oh, what did he have? And it's like, all these Airfix plastic. I'm like, waste his money. Waste. He didn't have any metal at all. What else do we have? Anything else crazy to talk about? Hold on. I have my notes here. My phone keeps on getting out of it, kicking me out of it. Welsh rare bit. Oh, that's what the horseshoe's based off of. The Welshman. Oh shit. Just started storming. We've actually hit, we had the three worst like heat wave days yeah. the last 3 days here in the Midwest. Because the Midwest we don't get hot. We get ass.
Yes.
Yeah.
We get grim hot death.
Yeah, grim hot death that no one likes. No one gives a two shits about any of like the weather out here. It's so bad. Pricing. Nope. That's, we already talked about that. Pricing, by the way, for the Lord of the, for the Soul War stuff, ass expensive.
It's not that bad.
$160 for the box.
That's the normal price.
I know. It's just,
it's the same price as the 40K one.
Hey, did the box set come with a hardcover book?
Yeah.
Okay, it did come with the hardcover book. That was the question that I had.
Yeah, it's a carbon copy content-wise of the 40K one, oh. Except it has a little bit, I think it has a few more figures than the 40K one did.
The Monopoly Warhammer 40,000.
Yeah, I think I might get it.
Are you really?
I might.
I mean, it's Monopoly, and it's awful.
If there's one game that can breed the level of hatred that you need to be a Space Marine.
You know, Space Marines don't have hatred.
They have intense hatred. Intense hatred of the Xenos and of chaos. Duh.
I saw that. I'm like, really? There's enough call for a Warhammer 40,000 Monopoly? Like, I think there would be more people who would buy University of Illinois-opoly rather than Warhammer 40K-opoly.
I don't know. We'll find out.
Yeah, I guess we will. Oh, here it is. This was the other of the 40K dating website.
That's weird.
Yeah. So up next is going to be Codex Space Wolves, Codex Orcs, a new Elder Codex, and the Codex Genestealer Cult. That's going to be on there. And also, oh, yeah, they previewed a bunch of new Titanicus. Not new Titanicus. They just previewed Titanicus, the epic game. And Kill Team is going to be coming out. Re-release of Kill Team. Which, talking to a source in GW, was like super excited because I guess Soul Wars didn't have that great pre-orders in the U.S. like they were hoping for.
Mm-hmm.
It was decent, but it wasn't as great as they were hoping for. But I think a lot of that had to do with the overkill. I think Soul Wars with the malign sorcery and General's Handbook all coming out at the same time, making you drop like $300. In one go was a little bit much.
It was a lot.
Yeah, I was kind of like, woof, that's a lot of shit.
It was a lot. Well, I mean, I guess in theory, the idea is that if you didn't like, if I didn't have any interest in the Nighthaunts and the Stormcast, I would have just bought Malign Sorcery and the General's Handbook.
Which, true, yeah, but then you'd have to buy the new rulebook, too. Well, I guess you don't have
to
buy the app.
You don't have to buy it at all.
Because it's an 8-page rulebook.
Right, and it's on the app.
Yeah.
It's
everywhere. I mean, yeah, literally, yeah, yeah. They're
so
giving away
free. You totally would not need to buy the rulebook.
Yeah, so I guess, yeah, if you don't need it, you could just buy the General's Handbook and the Malign Sorcery and be fine with that. But apparently the new actual book is really great if you're interested in what they're doing with the lore. They've done some
pretty
cool...
They have a ton of cool stuff in it. I was reading a bit about the spells and whatnot. It's
on the toilet? Cool. Were you reading it on the toilet?
No. I don't bring hardcovers into the bathroom.
Oh, that your rule?
Yeah, no hardcovers.
I only do hardcovers in the bathroom. There's no soft covers in my house. I refuse.
Soft covers are allowed in the bathroom, but they're most... Oh, you know what? Hardcover digest are acceptable in the bathroom. Digest size,
yeah. But not. You don't want to bring like the Codex Gigantus
right
into the bathroom.
Exactly. I don't want to bring the Nox Nocturum or whatever it is.
The Nox Nocturum. What I was saying is that the Soul Wars,
I guess, pre-ordered pretty decently in most of the stores. I guess it was just they weren't generating as much as they're hoping for, and plus they're going... This is actually what they're going off of for last year for the release of 40K, and 40K was such a huge fucking sale that there was no way that they were going to make any sort of comparison against it.
No chance.
Yeah.
No chance. Even if Age of Sigmar was a smash, it still wouldn't come close.
40K killed the release schedule for Games Workshop for 4 months because they couldn't make enough.
Yes.
They had to divert plastic... but Kill Team is—they're thinking that Kill Team is going to make up a lot of it. It gets released towards the end of the summer, early fall is going to make up some of what they consider to be losses, because Games Workshop actually made so much money last year that they're cutting a check to every employee.
Yeah, I heard that. They're giving the boys a bonus.
Yeah, I don't know how much that's going to be, but they are cutting them a check, and I've heard that it is going to every lowly store manager because there are no more employees.
Yeah, I was gonna say there's no frontline goons anymore.
Yeah, that they're cutting it up. But so I guess going off last year, like their sales are not going to be anywhere near as crazy as they were last year with the release of 8th edition.
No way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I mean, it does seem that everyone who plays Age of Sigmar is super happy. So
yeah, I mean, I haven't heard many people who are upset. Like, no one is. You're not getting any addition fallout.
Yeah.
Like what we were talking previously, it's like no one is going to be sitting there going like, "I like the original Age of Sigmar. This new rules are bullshit."
Yeah, it's
there's
it's,
no new rules. Yeah, in the game.
the added things are just like more content that everyone has.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, and it's not even like with the way Malign Sorcerer works. It's not like, oh, I got hosed because I don't play like this new army, so I don't get anything. It's like, nope, everybody gets that.
Yeah, everyone gets there, and you get to, and it's just got all the lores from the different, like, and some of the stuff that they've added, I think, is that everybody who plays the game will like this stuff. The only people, like, the part of me that doesn't like the new stuff that they added is, like, the part of me that goes, oh, Jesus, I gotta make a decision on, like, what realm they're from. Fuck that. Jesus Christ.
I mean, you don't really need to, because you only need to make that decision if you want to take things from that.
Well, I know,
lists.
But I'm...
And in most cases, I'm just going to take the stuff in my army book.
Yeah, exactly. So, there's so many decisions on making a lot of that stuff. I'm just like, ugh. And what do you care? You play Nurgle anyway, so you're just be like, I'm just going to take Nurgle stuff.
And they'd be from the Realm of Life anyway, because that's the most thematic.
The most thematic?
Yeah. Well, that's where Nurgle currently is. He's in the Realm of Life. Fucking shit up.
Yeah, he's looking after his waifu, Illyrio.
Yes, exactly.
Why doesn't she like me?
You think I have a chance?
Illyrio.
I like to imagine fucking Nurgle as like a fucking, this like...
If she creates treatment, she's a thought.
No. He's not an incel. He's like an older...
I see him as an incel.
No, he's like in his mid-50s, out of shape divorcee.
Oh.
And so like, he's like, that's why he's like, his like hot wife left him or whatever. And he's like, he's lusting after the hot young girl at the comic shop he frequents. And that's Ariel. See, that's a story I've built up. But he's really friendly. So, like, he's not overtly... He is disgusting. Like, he smells and, like, he's gross looking. But he is not, like, overtly offensive. He's, like, very nice. But it's like, dude, that guy fucking smells. Like, it's like, yeah, but he's so polite. And it's like, shit.
Is he the guy that's like, what's up with his handshake? What's the hug?
Yes. That's totally him.
That's totally him.
And he smelled terrible. And you're like, is it BO? It's like, I think, but it doesn't smell like human BO. It just smells bad.
It smells terrible.
Yeah, it's like, I've never smelled anything like it. And my eyes start watering.
Yeah.
His musk.
I'll defer to you because you're the Nurgle expert.
That's what I think. I think that's how I feel about it.
With the change to the Nurgle summoning, what do you think about that?
I think it's great. You can actually fucking use shit now.
Yeah, I mean, like, now it's like, oh, shit, why would I put plague bearers into my army when I could just summon them?
Oh, I'm definitely still using a big-ass block of plague bearers.
Yeah.
But now you get to bring stuff that you normally would never get to see the light of day, like plague toads. Like, yeah. Plague toads are okay, but in most cases, I don't bring them because, like, they don't count as battle line, so, like, they're... I'm usually just barely making my battle line minimum. So now I can bring my two units of plague toads because I can fucking summon them with contagion points. Yeah. Yes.
I'm hoping one of the things I'm hoping for with Stormcast is that with the guys with the hammer, the maces, I'm hoping that they count as battle line because right now.
They count as battle line if your general is the Sacrosanct General.
Because right now the only two battle lines are the guys with hammers and shield and. The guys with the bows, and I don't have any of the guys with the bows because
they're only battle line if you have a specific general, the bow guys.
Yeah, it's dumb.
I mean, all of those general restrictions like used to matter a lot more. Now they don't because your general only like the only thing your general matters for now is, are you putting gear on him? Because before you had to have your general for the command abilities, now you just. The restriction is like you have to take that model, so it's like okay,
that's
like,
true. Yeah, like, I guess that is true with the new thing because you don't have to worry about your general,
right? Like the Lord of Contagion, the Nurgle dude on the drone, the general, he was a cool model and he made Puscoil Blightlord's battle line, which is fucking cool. But you would never have used him ever previously because he was a fucking garbage general. Now you can make him your general because it doesn't fucking matter.
Yeah, your general really doesn't mean anything. It's just all about
So you get to actually use Puscoil Blightlords as your battle line and use that guy. And his command ability is strong for Puscoil Blightlords, but does nothing for the rest of the army, which is why no one ever used him as their general. So with the fact that a lot of the changes are like that, I can see like most of those battle line changes being a lot better now because you can be like, oh, okay, cool. It just gives you more flexibility and you're not hosed because you're like, I have to take this shitty guy as my general who sucks.
The shitty guy is my general.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, but as I say, it's like, oh, this is going to be my battle line now. Oh, fuck this. Because like, let's say, you know, because you and I are planning a big game using the apocalypse rules, the Sigmar apocalypse rules. And it's just like, oh, well, I guess it really doesn't matter because you can't play match play at over 2,500 points anyway. So we'd have to just, it would have to be like open play anyway. So I guess it doesn't matter. But I mean, it's like, oh, so I just have to take hammer and shield guys, a shit ton of hammer shield guys. These guys suck.
Yeah, we're basically just taking our collections and we're going to throw them at each other.
Yay!
with the Legends rules or whatever they are. I was reading them. They're pretty cool. I like them.
The Apocalypse rules?
Yeah, the Epic Battles rules. They're pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, it just nukes magic really is what it does.
And it changes the way combat works too, where you pile in with everything and then everything fights.
Yeah, I think everything fights simultaneous too. There's no like, I'm going to roll and then you roll.
The active player piles in and then you do the same combats and then each like everything on the table piles in, then you do a combat, everything rolls its chops.
Yeah. It's pretty cool in that it's just like, let's just get it all done out of the way and it's done.
It's meant to let you play a giant game and not take fucking 8 hours to do
it. Yeah. I mean, I think about an average 2K point game of 2 to 2.5.
Usually it's about an hour per 1,000 points.
Yeah.
That's like the average of play.
I was going to say, once you get about above 2,000, like say you're playing 2,500, it's going to last you about 4 hours.
Yeah. But that depends too on like what, like there's a lot of factors. Like, are you playing 2,500 points? Okay. Do you have 1,500 points of characters? Because that's going to be a big difference whether, you know.
Very true. Very true. All right. Well, I think we've exhausted everything we can about the release of Soul Wars. Is there anything else that we didn't talk about with the box set? All the accessories are pretty cool, but at the same time...
No, they're badass. Yeah. Those fucking objective markers are sick.
Oh, the 3D ones?
They're really cool. Eh. The treasure chest, the fucking weapon pile, they're like... They're really
I wouldn't
cool.
know, because now I could 3D print all my shit.
I'm using officially licensed Games Workshop miniatures, and they don't have those shitty 3D print lines on them.
You want me to do like a 3D printed Shadespire thing for you?
I already made one.
Those little deck things?
I already made one.
Oh, did you? Oh, okay. Never mind. Well, I was talking about like the deck holder ones.
Oh,
the, yeah.
Oh, those. No, I need to figure out a perfect, like, I'm still trying to design, I think I'm going to just have to figure out how I can custom make my own Shadespire storage solution, because I want to have something that stores everything in like an easy to manage transportable solution, so I think I'm just gonna have to make my own.
Yeah,
because everything I found is always it works up to a point, and then there's like there's a breakdown somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, I know a lot of people, like, what I see, because what I was looking at is, like, what do people make 3D printed that they sell for and that goes? Like,
usually bits.
Like, for example, yeah, bits go
Necron,
for
it. Like, you want to, I'll give you a pro tip. You ready?
Pro tip.
Flayed one arm conversions for Necron Warriors.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, you get yourself, the ones that I found that were online when I was looking for them were all retardedly expensive.
Oh, really?
And they were all from the UK.
Yeah, but I would have to find the STL file for that, or
yeah,
make my own.
You have to own. Make your own.
Oh, I'm not making my own.
Do it.
I'm going to steal them from people.
Do it.
I'm not that creative.
Come on.
But yeah,
you're telling me you can't use CAD.
I try using CAD. I'm terrible at it. I'm really bad. And I'm an artsy guy. I like doing stuff like that, but I don't have the ability to think three-dimensionally enough to create something like that.
I made the two things I made in CAD were a bouncy butt and a dick.
Well,
those are the two things I made in CAD.
Dicks are fun to make in CAD.
Yeah.
But yeah, the one thing that I saw that everybody that people are actually making and selling a lot of things that are a lot of turnover are the Shadespire terrain. Like they come with that three terrain set.
Yeah, I made my own. Yeah. I grabbed some D&D terrain and I just put them on some hex tiles. They look really cool.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, a lot of people are making that. And, army-specific...
That's crazy.
Yeah, the army-specific ones, too. Like, so if you've got, like, an orc one or a dwarf one, like, that stuff, it tends to go for a decent amount. So, anyway, but, yeah, I'm going to be doing that. So, when you're coming to me going, like, hey, Joe, I want some 3D stuff, yeah, I'll just remember that.
Why would I come to you?
I don't know, because I got a 3D printer.
Why would I ever come to you?
Because you know that I have it.
But why?
Because you want some 3D.
But what would I need?
Actually, I was looking at a lot of like the 3D. Like,
if I wanted to 3D print stuff, I would just buy a 3D printer.
Yeah.
They're not that expensive anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I spent $400 on mine, so, which isn't terrible, but I mean,
that's the price of a PlayStation.
That's also the price of all of the Soul War stuff together. So.
And when you consider like a 3D printer, like not too long ago was like $3,000 for a mediocre one.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
No, they're better. All right. So go to planetarbitrary.com for your planet arbitrary needs. Oh, wait, don't go there because the site doesn't work. best way, go to
tweet at Pat B and ask him what's going on.
Yeah. Visit us on Facebook at /gameclassypodcast. The best way to help us out. You could also like, comment, subscribe on iTunes, which is also the best way to help us out. The second best way to help us out. You can listen to our sister podcast, which is the Play On podcast, where Steve and Pat talk about E3 still, because I'm sure Pat's still jizzing about E3. Am I right?
E3 was pretty lukewarm response.
Lukewarm response?
Yeah.
Really? I thought he'd be excited. He's a big Smash guy, right? You want to start that rumor that Pat B's a big Smash guy?
I don't think anyone would believe it.
No. He loves a Street Fighter, though. He's a Street Fighting man.
He does like the Street Fighter, but yes. Yeah, I don't think we can get it. I don't think we'd get any traction on the Smash rumor.
The Smash rumor. What about a Smash Mouth fan?
Smash Mouth.
Mouth.
Smash Mouth.
You could also listen to Deconstructing Daycare, which is all about kitty cartoons from the perspective of an adult, and Weeb Town, where Steve and Young Giuseppe play Japanese video games with nonsensical titles.
Yes.
Which one are you playing now?
Right now we're still playing Blaze Blue Cross Tag Battle.
That's not a real word.
Yeah,
no, those are a bunch of words thrown together.
Cross tag and battle are all words.
Yeah, but they're just thrown together.
That's accurate.
Like Yahoo Serious. I recognize those words, but I don't know what that means. You could also visit us on Instagram. I am Game Classy Joe, and Steve is Command Throw.
I'm Command Throw.
Is it
I am?
I am Command Throw.
I'm. Yes.
I am Command Throw.
You got it.
Where you could see Steve's bento boxes.
No, that's not. I don't. Put
oh,
that
that's
one.
Twitter. Yeah,
yeah, I put that on a different one. My Instagram is just Command Throw.
That's what I was saying.
Instagram. I thought you were saying Twitter. I was confused.
My Instagram, Game Classy Joe, and Steve's is Command Throw.
Yes.
We see his bento boxes.
I do have bento boxes on there.
Lots of bento boxes. All right, so Steve, until next time, which we hopefully will not have a big
Game
Age of Sigmar podcast.
I don't think we will. I have to poop.